Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this August 8th service of Central Congregational Church, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Wayne Netney. I'm the chair of the deacons. We are joined today by our music director, Dave Valario, and delivering the sermon today will be Pastor Glenn, our youth minister. So without further ado, here's the music. So a little reverse order this morning. We'll let Pastor Glenn call us to worship and then go right into the prayer of invocation.
O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. As the followers of Jesus, we are called to a life of discipleship. We have turned from our old life and committed ourselves to a life of love and service in his name. We revere his lordship of our lives and aim to become our best selves, reflecting his grace, compassion, and sacrifice. We are reminded of that as we pray the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. And this morning we have a mission moment, and I will introduce Gil Reinders, the chair of the mission committee.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's good to be able to share the good news related to our summer mission projects. Just to remind everyone, in June, we're receiving funds for the Kids Cafe Grab and Go, and the congregation provided us with $315. And then using our bequest funds that we have in the committee, we rounded that off and were able to send off $500 towards that children's feeding program. In July, up through the, we have reports through the 25th of July, we're raising funds for the Greater Attleboro Area Council for Children for their backpack program that they do with the public schools for children in need. And so far we've received $345. And once I get the report from last Sunday, then we'll finalize the figures on that and see that the funds are sent off to them promptly, because they're already in the midst of making those purchases of supplies. And then we come to August, and August is the month we're promoting the Ministry of Scripture Union, which is a, while it's an international organization of many years, dating back to 1865, it's a relatively small organization here in the USA. As many of you would know, I was employed with Scripture Union for a number of years, and so my heart goes out to their ministry, which is focused on what they would call Bible engagement, the reading of God's word, and we receive the encounter with God guides that you know, we still provide to the congregation. And also the focus for us at the moment is their children's ministry, Vacation Bible School, which they do refer to as Super Kids. And also, I just want to mention this morning an after-school program that I've had a lot of involvement with, actually, over the years. It's called Prime Time. And the whole focus really is on engaging children, particularly children that aren't church, with learning the Bible and information. So we're going to show just a short video this morning. They'll give you some insight. And we're specifically raising funds to support the ministry of their ministry specialist here in Massachusetts, who is Mary Sutton. And she has a little blip in this video. It will be the third female face that you see, and she'll make reference that she's a former second grade school teacher. So Wayne, if you'll play the video.
Scripture Union is a global movement. It's a movement of people who want to make God's good news known to children, young people, and families, and to help people of all ages to meet God through the Bible and prayer. And we do that in a variety of ways throughout the world in over 120 different countries.
Primetime is a faith-based after-school program where Scripture Union partner with churches and organizations such as the Salvation Army, and we have these programs in the schools and in community centers or anywhere that children are gathered where we can have a meeting with them. And we call it prime time because we wanted to meet the kids at a prime time of the day when before their parents get from work and they're home from school, we can have a safe environment. We teach them God's love and help them in different areas, maybe homework club, sports, whatever activities. And most of the children who come to prime time are not affiliated with a church. They're not used to going to church. So we want to provide a safe environment for them where they learn the love of God and how to live it out in their life.
Super Kids is a program that goes out where kids are naturally. We go to playgrounds and beaches, and we want kids to experience the Bible for themselves. In my experience as a teacher in public school, I found that kids had no idea what the word God meant. I had kids in my classroom trying to figure out what the word prayer meant. Literally, they're sitting on the bus sitting on the floor trying to figure it out. And they think Jesus is a swear word. So one of the things I want them to come out with and what the churches would want them to come out with is that that Jesus was a real person, that he really interacted with people, he had a relationship with people, that he had power, and he had love.
We want to reach children who've never been in a church, and we want to give children who are in the church the ability to take their faith with them through their whole lives. It's a new world than it did even 20 years ago, before there was a World Wide Web that we all surf today. Innovation in 2021 and onward really looks a little different. We want to reimagine this work for the next generation, and that's going to mean that we need to really step it up in terms of our multimedia, in terms of the way that we train the church, the way that we resource, the way that materials are accessed. And so we're just going to need people who know how to do those things. We're going to need resources to engage those people. We have the vision. We have the story. The story hasn't changed. But we really need partners to come alongside with us and help us to get there, to take it to the next level.
Every single penny is important. We want people to give out of their sharing of our vision and mission. We want children to be a part of their local worshiping community. So there is much to look forward to as the ministry of Scripture Union USA is developed in the years to come.
Oh, Okay, so I hope that was helpful to give you some insight regarding Scripture Union. I do want you to know that it's a heavily driven organization by volunteers, and Sonia Dobson, who you saw speaking about Prime Time, and then Mary Sutton, they do go into schools if they're permitted, or to churches, and they'll conduct those programs. But most of their time is really coming alongside churches that want to launch a ministry, whether it's the summer ministry that's out in the parks and on the streets, or a Prime Time that's in the church building. And they focus on really training the church staff or their volunteers. So I encourage you to continue to give. So far, we already have received $150. And again, these dollars will specifically help support Mary Sutton's ministry here in Massachusetts. And I'd have to say, having been a member of that staff, all of the staff is asked to raise personal support to support their ministry, and as well as the organizational funds that are needed to keep it in operation. So thank you very much. And, we pray for these missions, and I'd encourage you this month to pray for Scripture Union and Mary Sutton as she's out moving amongst churches and doing their VBS program. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gil. This is a time for announcements. I have none that were given to me. So does anyone out there have an announcement to make? Okay. Hearing none, Mr. Dave, would you like to introduce our hymn to
sing together? Sure. Good morning, everybody. The opening hymn was Be Thou My Vision, which I'm sure everybody knows. It's one of my personal favorites. And the hymn we're going to sing together is This Is My Father's World. And if you have a hymnal, it's number 144 in the hymnal. Otherwise, you can click on the chat, and you'll see it down in the chat. There's three verses. So let's all sing together, This Is My Father's World.
Celebrations and concerns. I did get a list from Kathy for concerns for the week, but I never seem to get a list of celebrations. Does anybody have celebrations? I have one. Kristen and I celebrated 28 years of marriage, which is good. Yay. Dave's clapping. Yeah, so that was nice. Yesterday was a hectic day, so we're going to go out to dinner tonight instead. So does anybody have any concerns that I can add to the list? Well, hearing none, let's pray. God, I do thank you for Kristen and I that we have been married now for 28 years. I thank you for the blessings you've given us over the years, our children and everything else you've given to us, and just the friends and churches and things that we've been able to be part of have been a blessing to us. We do have a long list of concerns today, Kathy Trowbridge let me know that Matt has been in the hospital for 2 days, and he's having some symptoms that are yet undiagnosed, thinking it may be something related to a tick bite or something along those lines, as the more major things have been ruled out. But just to keep him in prayer and let them be able to identify that. Sue Winship was transferred to Walpole Health Center this week. So she's not in the hospital at this point. And then there's quite a list of people on the concern list. Tom, Cher, Marge, Jennifer, Len, Lee, Marie, Tyler, Brigida, Linda, Ben, Ron, Loretta, and AJ. And then those who are in the assisted living and nursing home are Jackie, Carolyn, Doris, and Bob. Oh, and I did forget Ed and Janet Dyer, as they are continuing medical problems and seem to be in and out of the hospital quite often. So to keep those, all of those, in our prayers. God, we thank you for the things that we didn't share that are celebrations. Sometimes we take things for granted, but we do praise you for those things in our lives. But we do pray for all of those on our list who are having all different kinds of concerns. You know what those concerns are, all the struggles that people are having, and some things that were not voiced today. I pray that you'd be with those who have things that they either didn't feel comfortable sharing, or maybe it's things that we don't yet know about. I just pray about that. Pray that you'd be with us too in terms of just things in our week that come up, struggles that we have. I just pray a special blessing on us as we cope with those things and do so in a way that you'd want us to. I do pray for the people in the military who serve and protect us. Thank you for that. I thank you for Gil's presentation today. I pray that funds would be available for that, not only through what we can do, but what others can do, and also that whole mission would be uplifted in prayer before you. Such a good thing to do. We just thank you for that mission. And we do pray for ourselves today, and just being able to be your disciples, to do the things that you would have us do. Sometimes we struggle with that in our lives. Sometimes we have our own agendas. Sometimes we're kind of off track. I pray that you'd put us back on the right track toward your kingdom goals and what you would have us do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you.
For our scripture lesson today, I will be reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, starting with chapter 4, verse 25, ending with chapter 5, verse 2. Please hear these words. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fit the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
I just want to let you know where I'm standing right now. I think I'm in a strange angle. I try to put as many books onto my phone as I preach to get me on a kind of equal level. But as I prepared during COVID to try to have a place to work from home, I built a desk and I used different parts of things so I could stand while I worked. And when I was finished, I figured that, oh my gosh, I just built myself a pulpit in the living room. I think it was my daughter Jill that says that's typical of you to be to have a pulpit like that's like right in the living room there. It was kind of my personality working itself out, I guess. But it's amazing how I'm able to focus when I'm standing here. A couple of times I sat at the dining room table while I preached from home, and it was not the same. Something wasn't quite right, and I was kind of stumbling over my words more than I normally would, and I couldn't keep my focus because I wasn't standing in a place where I was used to doing what I did to preach, and it threw me off balance. Now, the text that Wayne read, and he almost read two verses today to you because I didn't make it clear on what the text was, but I think I almost should have backed up a little bit more in the text. Sometimes as they do the lectionary writings, I'm not sure how they came up with the specific sections or passages that they came, because sometimes they seem to start in the middle of a thought, or they seem to be a little bit disjointed from other things that came before them. So I'm just gonna back up a little bit here. And it says that we need to put off our old self and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then the passage that we were to read today that was in the booklet I got from Kathy, there are the lectionary readings that are laid out from every week. It started with therefore. That very important word, it ties together what was said just prior to the passage that we read today. So it's very important to look back on what was the meaning of that therefore. Well, the therefore ties back to what change was supposed to happen in the people that Paul was addressing in Ephesus. And he's got a long list of things that he's addressing here. It seems like they're battling within the church. It seems like there's a lot of lying in the church. It seems like there is a lot of anger in the church. It seems like people, it says, give the devil a foothold. So it's not God who's having his way in the church, but rather something else. And it's also to the point of stealing in the church. If I'm remembering this correct, some people who had came to faith believed that then they were just going to wait for Jesus to come back. Like they didn't participate in even getting their own food or providing for themselves. So they were actually getting things from other people and they were still working. And then it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So you've got swearing, you've got stealing, you've got anger unbridled, you've got lying, bitterness, rage, anger, and brawling. Can you imagine if we came back to church and we were brawling in the pews at Central Congo? I can't understand that. I couldn't believe that if I saw it. But this is how it had gotten in the church. And then it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This calls back to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians where it says that, and that we were adopted as children. So Paul is reminding the church who they were. You were once the old self and now you're the new self, but you're not displaying that in your character or your behavior, even in the church. And I think I tried to figure out what that all meant. It's like grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, there would be grief according to that kind of behavior, but there's also grief according to us, or initially that church of believers, not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them. And in a way, letting that other spirit, giving the devil a foothold, that spirit to work through them as it was obviously being displayed. So rather than that, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And then it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. So I thought that phrase was interesting. It's almost like Paul is saying, even if you don't feel, that right now, if that change hasn't taken hold of you, if you're not letting the Holy Spirit work through you, at least imitate God. Imitate Jesus. Imitate what you know that he did. And then I think, once you start to imitate, it starts to take hold of you as you kind of give up control and you also give up that other control that seems to take hold of us when we're not on the right page, when we're not in the right place. And it says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as an offering and sacrifice to God. We talked about that last Sunday, that should be our motive. That should be the motive for everything we do, is love. Love of Christ and what he first did for us, but also love for those around us, love for our neighbor. And our neighbor is, of course, everyone. Everyone who is within our physical neighborhood, but actually everyone who we come in contact with. So this is quite a challenge, is it not? And I found it like exceedingly challenging for those in Ephesus. But I think for those of us, hopefully, who have taken a lot of this to heart, there might be certain things within that text that still work on us. Who of us don't have a little bit of bitterness still at work within us? Maybe some unforgiveness that we haven't addressed some relationship that we haven't sought to save? And who of us doesn't like focus on things that we should not focus on? All the things that are positive in this text to build other people up, to be compassionate, to be forgiving. Well, there's another text that came to mind this morning that in terms of the old self and the new self, and I hope it's going to make sense because I don't know how many of you have ever worked on a project to the point where you were in need of a shower in a dire way, or you had, you know, scratches all over yourself from like working in the garden, or like doing bags and bags of leaves, or doing house chores or things like that. So the first thing you do is you put on, you don't put on your best clothes to go do these things. You put on clothes that maybe you used the last time that you did that kind of work, and you've got, you know, holy shirt, you know, tears in your pants, you know, there might be stains on everything, and, you know, and at the point where you're like at your worst, you're at your stinkiest, what, just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. You are just, you're just filthy. You want to take a shower. Maybe you got smudges of dirt all over your face. Hair is a mess. But somebody told you, you can't take a shower. You can't change your clothes. You have to wear what you're wearing and keep wearing it. For some reason that came into my mind when I was thinking about the old self. If there was no way for you to change that old self, if there was no way for you to put down those things that you always wanted to put down, your bitterness, your rage, your anger, your fears, all that stuff, and there was nowhere to go with it, you had to sit in that yuck, that, you know, you really stink after all that. But you had to sit in that and live with that. Well, what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus is you don't have to do that. And why? Why is that possible? Because Jesus gave himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That offering, that sweet smelling offering, was then extended to us to cover all that stink and to give us brand new clothes. We were allowed to clothe ourselves in Christ. Sometimes it's hard to get our mind around those types of things, that change is possible regardless of all the stink, all that, all those old things that we feel we're stuck in. But Jesus is there to allow us to change, to transform the old into the new, to change what was really stinky into something that's sweet smelling. And he does that so we have not only him in our life, but better relationships all around us. Now, I'm imagining that the church at Ephesus, as one of Paul's prime churches that he taught and was part of, changed and followed what he was saying. Can you imagine what the change was from this time when he addressed them to the time when he would see them again? I think it would be amazing. And I oftentimes see that it's amazing of what Jesus does in individual lives when they allow him to change. I think the biggest roadblock is for people who think, I stink so badly. There's too many things. There's the old self. I can't let that go. But that's not true. It's not true. Because Jesus just blows it all out of the water and gives us the love that we thought we could never have, the forgiveness that we thought we could never deserve, and just that endless love that's always available to each one of us. So I think today what I most wanted to remind you of was that we need to stay on the right track, stay in a place where we can be focused, where our minds can change. It seems like there's the mind change first. Now, I don't know if I use another example of let's say you are preparing for work and it's been after a time of vacation time. This is like a very definite shift in attitude. There's a very different shift in focus that you have to make in order to get in from the rest mode to the work mode. There's also a very different shift that's kind of obvious when you are going through the days of your week, and let's look back before COVID, and you're going to go to church. You put on your best clothes, you treat people as kindly as you can, all of a sudden you're more patient and you put on your listening ears and you do your best, not only in terms of clothing, but in terms of your attitude shifts. What if you do that all the time, that you would shift and at the same time allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and to continue to imitate God and Jesus, to the point where after a time, all that becomes natural, that all of that kind of flows out of you as Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit work through you. So I think that's kind of what Paul was driving at, that we're not in it alone, and that he's always there, and the love is always there for us, and also for others, that we are to share with those around us. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be valiant and strong. Let all you do be done in love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That concludes our service for today. I'd like everyone to have a wonderful Sunday, and you can stick around for our virtual coffee hour if you so choose. Take care.